Welcome to PaintEd. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play. This episode is brought to you by Angie, Estimate Rocket, and Paint Supply.
Hello and welcome to Mastermind Group. Our mission is to build million-dollar businesses so that we can have financial freedom, time for our families, and make an impact in our communities. Let's kick it off with some big wins. Josh, would you lead the way, please?
Yes, big wins. I have had a very good start to the year so far. I was looking at my projections and where I stood in this year. Originally, my goal was $440,000 in revenue. And as it stands right now, I would hit about $1 million in sales and close to $700,000 in revenue. So seems like I'm on a good track and it feels good to be crushing the goals. And probably by first quarter, I'll have to adjust where I'm heading. Yeah, that's a big win.
That is a big win. Love those projections, Josh. Awesome sauce. Thank you for sharing. All right, Alex.
Big wins. My biggest win for the last week or this week after the last month, I would say storm right or chaos that I had on my business with my employees, the production, it was very disappointed. But after a conversation with my coach, I had a conversation with the team just last Friday because of we need to keep up track with the job. I wasn't able to hold that up meeting with the team. Finally, this Friday I did. And it was very positive. I'm going to start testing the pay production rates or production-based pay rate. So I think that motivated them pretty much. This week, projects went half of the time, the last one, the same project, same type of project, because we're doing the second home and last one on drywall. It came out to be half of the time, or I think like a one-fifth of the time, because it was super fast. In 2 days, we were able to hang the drywall, tape, and mud. So I'm very happy. They're very motivated looking. This morning, I ordered my materials. They're going to go pick it up. They're going to go each to one job site. And I think everything's rolling up pretty well. So yeah, that's my biggest win. It's looking for hope to a brighter future.
Yes, sir. Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that, Alex. And that's really encouraging, especially after our call. So awesome sauce. Dustin, big wins.
Hey, yeah. So I booked my record size job and I did it. And I got the price I wanted because of just basically that confidence that you taught, that you just walking with that confidence and knowing that what we have, the value we bring to the table, and not just cowering down to the contractor. And okay, yeah, no, we can work for that. No, hey, here's my price, and we're going to give you well worth it. And just have that confidence in that. And they're like, yeah, no, we can do that. I'm like, I know you can. I know you can. Yeah. You know? So it's exciting. It's a little nerve wracking. So that's a huge project. But I'm definitely excited. And it's definitely takes my faith and creates some elasticity to it.
That's it. Comfort zone, magic zone, area, opportunity, right? Yeah. That's awesome. We're glad to hear that. He's referring to a component from the estimated sales class that we had, and I unpack the power and prominence and competence and how critical it is to have confidence in your proposal, in yourself, your company, your team, and your process. Because once you have it, they sense it. Once they sense it, they buy it.
Yeah.
But if they sense that we're too humble or we don't have that confidence, then they don't trust it. Then they start asking for discounts, right? It's because they subconsciously sense that we're not confident. Like, if they're not confident, then I'm not confident in this price. I want a better deal if I'm going to take a risk on this guy who's not confident.
Yeah.
So well done, Dustin. That is awesome. My pleasure. Absolutely. It's encouraging to hear. We have light attendance for this meeting. A lot of guys are traveling. It's Ryan's birthday. His wife threw a surprise party. Others are traveling. And some are sick, can't make it. So we might have time for two one thanks in case we're in a double. One thanks. So after we go through, if you guys think of another one, we'll circle back around. And everybody else is at expo. Right on. But let's get this road on the show. So Josh, what is the one thing we can brainstorm for you such that to help you to hit those projections that you shared?
Yeah, this is like a small, maybe not like a system changing thing, but something just more like situational. But it's like the first time I've come to this situation. And I don't know if that's just like a mental thing or what, but I've got a customer and we had done all this work, had a couple of hiccups, but went back and fixed these things. And it's like one of the first times that a customer's just been like, I'm not happy with this, which was frustrating because we did go back. The my painters that were there before, my guy sent his brother and it was just messy. But we went back through and I blue taped the heck out of it, made sure we went back and got everything and fixed everything. And she was still like, still not happy. I just put it off as like, this customer is going to be, we'll just move on. And just, it's the first time I've had that where just like, I don't think I can please this person. Even if I'm like, cause I've been like really trying to make sure like everything's nice and looks good. And she's still, yeah, not about it. But anyways, the thing that's hard is, so whenever I do a proposal, I go through everything. I'm very specific on, we're doing the trim and we're doing the baseboards, the door frames, these couple doors very specifically. And then that's it or whatever. We get to the end. She's like, what about the crown molding? I was like, we didn't talk about the crown molding. We had talked about doing the trim and I even went through and confirmed it. And she's like, I thought the crown molding was going to be done. And anyways, so that was a hard situation. She's like, I thought that was going to be done. And like, it wasn't on the proposal. And anyways, I ended up saying I could probably do it for 50% off. And which would just be me paying my guys. And it just so happens that it's like way out there in Granbury, which is like not an area I really want to be in. Yeah. And yeah, it's 25, 30 minutes away from me, but an hour away from everyone else. My guys live in a farther place. So no one wants to go out there just to do a little trim job. It was a bigger job. They were happy to go out there for the other stuff, but just to go out there and do some crown, no one really wants to go out there. So I'm talking to her today and I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to pretty much tell her like, yeah, we can't do it. I'm not going to make any money. I don't think I'm going to make her happy on this. I'm expecting that there's going to be a little bit of, I might get a bad review from it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious if there's any helpful tips or I don't know. Just, yeah, curious what your thoughts are on that.
Okay. So a few things here. Pardon me, Dustin, I'll jump in. So anytime, first things first, right? Here are the principles. Anytime we have an upset customer, it's usually never the thing that they complain about. How do we find out what it is? So what we do is we go through a process called emptying the jug. And this is something we do with our wives too. Anytime they're upset, it's never usually about the thing that they say. It's the, what they do is they throw out something first. And it's not until that they can trust us that they like truly share what it is. Like, how do we get there? So we ask them, we sit down when they're upset. We ask them, so what's wrong? And they might share X and you say, okay, what else? And then they might say something else. What you do is you keep asking what's wrong until they say that's it. And then you say, okay, if there could be one more thing, what would it be? And usually one or two things happen. The real issue comes out or they laugh because they finally feel heard and they smile. They're like, there's nothing else. That's everything. And it's just weird how it happens, but it's powerful. Ask April. We've gone through it. Whenever I screw up, you ask her, or same thing with customers, especially the women. And they truly feel heard. It's a big deal. And it's so freeing. You're like, all right. And you got to the real issue. Okay. It's usually never the surface stuff. Like the guys were rude or they showed up late or whatever the small things are. It's usually never that. One is anytime a customer is upset, make sure you get to the bottom of the issue by following the process of going through emptying the jug and asking what's wrong. And then what else? What else? What else? And then when you feel like there's nothing else and they say, that's it, say, if there could be one more thing, what would it be? And it's either going to be the real issue or they're going to laugh and smile and say, yeah, that's it. That's everything. Now you know what the real issue is. And it's usually that we've lost their trust. Okay. And they've had a bad experience at some point with our guys or whatever. Maybe they were in a rush and we blocked the driveway. We don't know. Maybe we got washing brushes out in the yard or something. We don't know what it is, but we've lost their trust and they felt like they've had a bad experience. And once we lost their trust, now they don't trust us everywhere and they start picking everything apart.
Yeah.
Right? Because favor is everything. In this situation, okay, she says, I thought the crown molding was included. And what I would say is it's not included because I didn't charge you for it. I didn't charge you for it. It's not included in the proposal and I didn't charge you for it. right? Make it a point that she didn't pay for it. I didn't charge you for it. And then ask her, say, what do you think is fair? And she might decide at that point, okay, he didn't charge me for it. The question is, do you want to pay for it? Yes or no? And the whole part about him being an hour away, hopefully this is something we think about ahead of time, but I get it that the guy's not wanting to go all the way out there for an hour. That's a tough thing. So now here we are. You had the problem is you offered her crown molding for half, but none of you guys want to go out there. Need to honor our word and find a way to fulfill it. Because you offered that, we have to fulfill it regardless if she's going to be a tough client or a bad review, just so that we're operating with integrity. That's the hard part. And that's part of leadership. And sometimes these things happen. So what's that look like? We got to get our guys out there. Either we make them or we pay them more. But whatever it takes, we've got to follow through with that part because we told her we would do it. So we have to honor that. Bad review issue. If we get a bad review, that's no big deal. In fact, bad reviews are an opportunity to truly show your character. You just respond in grace and truth.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right on. And I was just going to say, far as just obvious process stuff, I use Drip Jobs and I'm sure you do. I don't know what you use, but I use Drip Jobs in every single proposal I have. It's got areas included and areas not included. And I always make sure those are on there and then review it. Say, hey, look, here's what we're painting and here's what we're not. And then that's the way it's all up front and it's done. I know it sounds so elementary and simple, but it sounds like if she went back to her proposal, there's no call out of any of that is what it sounds like to me. So I would just that perimeter on your templates and just that way you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I use Drip Jobs as well. And I had that. So
you had that on there and it's already said what's not included and crowns listed.
I didn't have what's not included crown, but I had what's listed and it was pretty specific, but I might put on there.
I would call out like crown door jams, but make sure you call this specifically because to people can be very elementary and literal, too literal. And sometimes you got to make it easy for them. So that's my only thing I felt compelled to share. And your reputation's worth everything, right? So if you got to go out there and you got to eat some crow and eat a little money, it's the bad news travels way faster than good news does. At least that's what I found. You can gain a good reputation and lose it in 5 minutes. So I would just say, hey, whatever it takes, just and like Steve said, you're an integrous person. Just follow through with your integrity and you'll be fine. Yeah. Sorry you have to deal with that, man. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's just some crown molding and it's not like a $100,000 builder that you got to grind out with, you know, been there. And that reminded me of listing what not to do back in the day when I worked for builders getting started. That was the bigger list of what's not included. So thank you for that reminder, Dustin. It's been a while, but with builders, you absolutely need a longer list of what's not included. So before I divorced them and went direct to customer, but right on. All right, Alex, you're up.
Yes, just a little bit to add to Josh. I think it's just so what I'm thinking after I lost half of what you're saying. I don't know what happened to my audio, but yeah, I'm with you. It's just to stay true to your word. And if you already said do it, I think, it's going to be a great opportunity. The customer is super tough, but knowing exactly, making sure that she knows that you didn't charge, but in the beginning, and if you go and take and do the job, I think it's going to be something that when customer is aware of, we are losing in some way and you still come through your work, they take it that, you know, very positive. And I think I have heard so many testimonials that in these cases, they even get a 5-star review because you are honest and you're true to your words. So even though I don't know if she's aware that you're driving 1 hour or 30 minutes, but that's awesome. So yeah, just do it. And for me, I would like to, my first one, if we don't get to the second one, it's good, but it's just like Dustin says, it's time management. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was listening to a podcast that when we start getting these wins to have the team doing what they're supposed to be doing and you have this free time, how to manage this time. It's like, what am I going to do? You sit down and watch Netflix or what activities to do that is going to be those 5 or 250 per hour task, right? Yeah, it's time management. How to, I will say, make a list and see what can I do or where to find those ideas or those tasks to do and finding important. In my personality, I'm just like everywhere. I'm very start one thing, don't finish, start another thing, dream, have ideas, but like a brainstorm every single minute of my life. It's just a matter of how to come to the center of my life and say, okay, this is very important. I need to do this right now. So yeah, if you have anything to say.
Yep. Great. So I've got a couple of processes. One is I would start with the Eisenhower matrix. You can pull up on Google. There's a million of them. It's very popular in corporate. It's a square box that helps you to take everything that you need to do and you plot it out in four squares. And there's important, urgent, not urgent. And it sounds simple, but it's just like doing push-ups. Push-ups, simple. What do you mean? But you got to do it. You do it and you work out and get better. The exercise sounds simple, but you plot out everything that you need to do, can do, should do, others want you to do, all the tasks, you plot them out in these four quadrants. Yeah, but you put the urgent, not important, important, not urgent, not important, right? And then you process them. Thank you, Dustin. He posted a link to one of them in the chat for you. And then obviously the not urgent, not important, just delete them. Ignore those. Netflix, get rid of it, right? But the urgent and important, those you hit first. It's which one do I do first? And here's where the one thing question kicks in. What is the one thing I can do such that by doing it will make everything else easier and or unnecessary? You look through that list and you find it, and then that becomes number one. And then you order the rest of them in that order. Then you go back to number one and you focus on number one until it's completed. Close that loop before you go to the next one. Okay?
Okay, and you make this list in a daily basis pretty much? At night maybe, or in the morning? Right?
Ideally, the night before is best. That way, you've decided ahead of time. Because when you wake up, sometimes we're foggy, tired, not clear, coffee hasn't kicked in yet, whatever it might be. So the night before is ideal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
And so what tasks should they be? Getting more business. How can we get more business? Network, top of mind, and going door to door if we need to. But first, make sure you exhaust all your networking opportunities. Make sure you exhaust all of your steam. Top of mind with ABAs to your clients, opportunities, and then door to door.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then when you get a bunch of, and then it's two plates, right? And then when you get a bunch of work, what do you need to do? Hire. So then you can get those hiring campaigns going. Recruit, recruit, recruit. And really everywhere we go, we should be recruiting, right? If we go to get some fast food from Chick-fil-A, I'm recruiting. I'm trying to hire all the kids from Chick-fil-A because they're awesome. And but everywhere you go, you should be recruiting. But yeah, so you just keep both those plates spinning.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. You're welcome, Dustin.
I got a fresh one. This big job, it's out of town work requiring my guys to stay overnight. And I came up with this thought, was to talk to my guys, a great idea. Instead of paying per diem a day, I just buy a bunch of groceries. We've got a Vrbo down there, stock up groceries. Everyone's at home. He was like, yeah, that's great. And now I got a guy who I need to talk to now, because now he feels like he's losing money. He's losing money now because I'm not doing per diem. And I'm thinking to myself, why would he think that? The only thing I could think of is because maybe he doesn't eat lunch every day, or he doesn't eat dinner every day or whatever. And so he can pocket that money. So I'm just trying to figure out how I can make him feel like he's winning, but I don't know. I just, this is the first time I dealt with this. And it's literally 30 minutes ago, it just popped up. Yeah. I'm just like, if I got to do per diem, I do per diem, whatever. And if it makes him happy, I'll just do that across the board. It would have saved me a couple $1,000, but overall, if the guys don't feel like they're being taken care of, I don't want that, obviously. So I'm just going to love some insight and some feedback on that.
Yeah, I would connect to them and empty the jar. Hey, what's the problem? Why is that? What else? Just draw it out. And what else? And I just say, if there could be one more thing, what would it be? Watch them laugh. Right? Yeah. If you've got to the bottom, if you truly got to the bottom, watch them laugh. Just empty the jug with them. And then ask them, okay, one win for us, but it's got to be reasonable for me and the company so that we're all winning, right? What do you suggest?
Yeah.
Ask them to make some suggestions. Sometimes what they suggest is better for you. Now they have buy-in because it was their
idea. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. Okay. No, that's excellent. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, I do drink coffee every chance I get. In fact, I believe that we should all keep it caffeinated. All right. Let's see. Who's up? Yes, sir. Best dad ever? Sam's here. Let me ask him. Yeah, right on. That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, let's see. Round two.
So, yeah, I'm working on this giveaway. So I'm just have some structure already, but I would like to have everybody see if somebody has implemented something like the giveaways. What type of maybe wording would you use? My idea is just to do like a one bedroom giveaway. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know if you have any ideas on words and what's the length of maybe to publish this, maybe a month or 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah.
Alex, you've come to the right place, buddy. I have this documented to a T for you in the cafe, verbatim, what to say, how to say, the schedule, the timeline, everything, except you just change it from a full-blown painted forward to just a bedroom. How you let the community know, how you let your customers know, the way to go about it, and the complete timeline as well.
Okay. Is that the video? Is that the video or is it like a document?
I don't think this one's a video. I think I wrote this out. I think I typed this one out, but it's the Paint It Forward 2.0. Okay.
Okay. Paint It Forward 2.0. Okay.
Yep. And I forget off the top, on the spot here, I forget how to present it, but I do remember the timeline is about 8 weeks from first announcing to execution. So from your first post to painting is 8 weeks. It's an 8 week timeline. Right. The first 4 weeks, you're promoting it. The next 2 weeks, you're asking people help to promote it because it's really tough to get nominations. But that's part of the magic of it because you keep talking about it. You're like, I only have 3 nominations. One, then you put it out there, somebody who cannot afford to do so for themselves, right? And all the other details are there for you.
Okay. So a good approach will be like open to everyone or maybe just to find like somebody that needs it.
Good question. Better. Yeah. And I explained this too in the course. It's you're looking for people who need a room painted, but can't afford to, whether they're elderly or they just have it. And then what you do is you bring it in. And I explained this too in the course and you let your team pick it up. First, you pre-qualify and make sure they're within your markets, an ideal project, right? So the ones that work for you, then you take those and you present them to your team and let your team decide who they paint it forward for.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. But again, all the details are there, you know, at the top of my head here on the spot, not the best at laying it all out, but please go into the cafe and see all, and there's some key components there, like how you introduce it to your team, how to get buy-in from your team, because you don't want to make them do volunteer or do anything, but there's a way to approach it where they're like, yes, I want to serve and make a difference in my community.
Yep.
So you let them own it, you let them choose, let them lead the way there, and then you just administer all of it, get it out there and get the nominations in, and then make a difference in your community together.
Sounds like a plan. Okay.
Cool. Okay. Right on. And then any questions after you go through the course, just reach out to me. Fill in any blanks you might have. Okay. Great.
We're talking about time management and mm-hmm. I feel like I manage my time pretty well. I've got my calendar all set up and I follow my calendar and everything I put in there, I do essentially. I review it every single week, get a game plan going. But as far as time consumption, it has been going up and I don't know. I think there's probably a couple factors. So I'm just brainstorming just to see if this is just. So in my head, as I grow, my time is just filling up everywhere else. I've got 8 to 10 estimates I'm doing a week. I've got 3 to 4 projects going every week. I've got all the other little tasks that I got to do. I've got my personal development that I'm trying to do. So it just feels like my time just gets filled up very quickly. And I'm driving around, other than the Granberry job, I try to keep it between 15 and 25 minutes, but still driving takes time. So I don't know if I'm trying to diagnose if this is just I'm growing and I need to delegate, if I need to improve maybe some of the systems. But if I think about how I'm improving my systems, like I'm just doing things that take time. An estimate takes time. Driving takes time. Doing project management takes a little bit of time. Hiring people takes time. And I've got some interviews I've got set up for this week and next week. Hiring subs. So I don't know if it's just part of the place I'm in or if I need to improve some of those skills. Now that I'm talking, I realize this is probably a deeper, more diagnostic question, but I don't know if there's any things off the top of your head.
I have good news.
Prompt you, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. And so I have good news. It is diagnostic, and I've got an exercise for you after done here. But good news is that you will be able to take this business to 1.2, 1.5, working 30, 40 hours a week. Getting into the startup season, you're working face off, but then things smooth out once you're out of the field. And you can be down to 30, 40 hours a week doing 1.2, 1.5 with an admin. You start off with a part-time admin, but you don't need a part-time admin until about 750, six, anywhere between six and 800. I don't need a part-time admin. So I feel overwhelmed now. I get it. But the good news is there are ways to simplify what you're doing. And a lot of that has to do with delegating and or putting up stronger boundaries. Like, for example, could any of us just call Elon Musk's cell phone right now or Jeff Bezos or whoever, right? Somebody CEOs? No, because they have boundaries, right? Even some of the most successful people cannot get to Richard Branson because he doesn't have a phone. He has a gatekeeper and everybody has to go through her. And moreover, he says that, listen, anything that comes through, unless it has to do with this goal of mine or this goal of mine, he always has one or two projects. If it doesn't have anything to do with one of these two things or helping me to advance these, don't allow it. Don't allow them through, right? So the further you want to go, the higher the boundaries. And that's also another component. So how do we know what's what here? So here's the exercise. You ready? This seems redundant, but it's very effective. It's very powerful. Okay. From when you wake up till the end of your workday, you write down every task that you do, every task, especially the simple ones, especially the ones that take you less time than to write them down, because those help you to set the habit and to remind you to write down the other task. Because the idea is to write down, document every task, right? Because it is diagnostic. So we need to do a diagnostic of everything you're doing. Do this for 3 days straight and then send it over to me. I'll take a look at it and show you how to simplify. But my encouragement to you is there are ways, plenty of ways. You're going to get all the way to 1.2, 1.5 before you bring on another salesman, not estimator, right? Salesman person. And you'll be able to do this effectively with the right tech stack and admin in place, even part-time admin at some point. Okay? Good deal. And keep those profits in your pocket. Yes, sir. Item, sir.
What you guys have been discussing has been helpful for me. I'm having some to say. Similar issues. Yeah, so challenges, opportunities, no better. Yeah. It is a humbling experience every week being an entrepreneur, being a business owner. It really is. Just when you think you got a lick and then you're like, man, I didn't see this issue coming. And man, I could avoid it if I just would have done these things. But I would have done these things if I was more organized. It's, oh my God. Just like,
Yep. It's a roller coaster, right? The entrepreneur roller coaster. But the idea is come here, keep coming back so that we can help it to trend up. Even as we're trending up, there are downs, right? There are hills and there are valleys, but the idea is we want it to trend up. They will come. And the idea is that after every hill, okay, what is the next valley, right? And it's a fun story from the Bible is that after every victory Moses had, the first thing he did is jump down to his knees. So, oh Lord, he just prayed, right? Because he's like, hey, the next valley's coming, the next storm's coming. The Israelites going to rise up and lynch me next. What's going to happen? Because we just had this big win. So here's a great example for that. After every hill, there's going to be a valley. We just want them to trend up and make it easier and easier.
Yeah. And that takes also a piece in what you just said in Psalms 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, you are with me. So freedom in Christ is not, we don't have trials. Freedom in Christ looks like we go through these things in life, but he's always with us. The comfort, like he says, lo, I'm with you always. That is freedom in Christ. I got to remember that. He's with us.
Yes, sir. That's it. And even when it's hard, we praise him. So.
Amen. In the good times and in the bad. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. All right, gentlemen, let's roll. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, add to what you guys are talking about. It's funny. When you have children, you say things that you know are true, but you realize that you don't really always follow through with those things. One of the things I was teaching my two-year-old very early on, and he remembered it. We do family worship, and we got to the story of David. And we said, David had no fear because God was with him. And then we'd say, no. And then my son would say, no fear because God was with us. And it's something I'm like, I should probably take that one more seriously.
Anyways. Seriously. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, right on. That's awesome.
But yeah, real quick little nugget for you guys. I just got an email yesterday that our fifth daughter that's in Colorado in foster, we got approved to get her down here. So I got number five coming to adopt. So yeah, man. So
that's amazing, Dustin. What an inspiration. Yes. That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
An inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's roll out with takeaways. That's mine right there. That was special. Josh?
Takeaways. I think, yeah, talking about the situation that I have going on, it hit me whenever I didn't think about the fact that would be me sacrificing my integrity. And that's an important thing. If I don't have integrity, I don't have a high performing business. Yeah, there's a lot of good things in this group, in this meeting, but that was probably the thing that maybe cut me the most.
Way to own it. That's awesome. That's leadership right there, and integrity. Fantastic. Thank you, Josh. Alex, takeaways?
My takeaway is going to be just diving into the Eisenhower metrics and start organizing my thoughts. And
yes. Mm-hmm. And then one thing to organize the top left quadrant. There you go. Right on. Awesome. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Dustin, close us out. Two takeaways, please.
Yeah, same. The Eisenhower metrics, I'm going to jump all over that. There's a YouTube video that I sent in there to show you how to use it. So I'm going to go full elementary on this thing. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to do it. And then the second thing is very simply put, this is just a great reminder why I need to just continue coming, not just for me, but for all of us. I feel like I really believe that the Lord does something special in this group. And this is a great reminder. So I don't feel just like mentally invigorated. I feel spiritually invigorated when I come to these, Steve. So that's a testament to your obedience, man, and you just stewarding this the way the Lord called you to do it. I just think this is a great reminder why I need to continue meeting and just make a priority, prioritize, organize, and make these meetups, man, because they're huge. Like, I feel like simple as what we talked about today, there's so much power in it, and not just for me, but for all of us. So anyway, all right, I'm done. I'm done giving you 5-star reviews for the day. All the gold,
praise the Lord. Thank you, Dustin. He gets the glory. All right. We're just stewards. So I appreciate that encouragement. Thank you. Yes, sir. All right, gentlemen. I want to encourage you to continue. Dream bigger. Hustle smarter. You've got this. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. Great to see y'all.
See you guys. Love you, dudes.
PayNet podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities, or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.